WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Is violence on TV leading to more violence in the streets? Today we're continuing our discussion about violence in entertainment media. Attorney General Janet Reno has given the TV industry the choice of cutting back on violence voluntarily or facing legislation that will force them to. There are currently 9 bills before Congress intended to decrease violence on TV, ranging from a ban on violent programs during the hours children watch to warnings that would flash in the corner of the screen during violent programs. Yesterday, we discussed the pros and cons of such legislation. Today, we're asking people who make TV programs and movies how they deal with the subject of violence and how graphically they depict violence. First, some thoughts from Senator Paul Simon, who has been spearheading the congressional campaign against TV violence. What has been the most compelling evidence to you that what we see on TV directly affects our behavior in terms of violence? You know, that violence on TV has a direct correlation to violence in our society.
Well, it is just all the research. It's a whole series of things that have happened in terms of research. We have over 2,000 studies now. We have at least 85 that would have to be considered very substantial studies. I don't think there is any question about that violence on the screen adds to violence in our society. There can be a question of the degree and how much that adds to violence. In a publication of research done by the American Medical Association in June of last year, it suggests that up to half the murders, assaults, and rapes in our society can be attributed to television violence. I think most researchers would not go that far. So there is disagreement on the degree of the harm. There is no disagreement on the harm.
Do you feel that violence is ever a cathartic experience and an experience, the kind of catharsis that we look to art to provide us?
Well, I think that those who argue on that side, and there are some who have argued on that side, the research is overwhelming that that is not accurate.
Senator Paul Simon, perhaps the most talked about new TV show this season is NYPD Blue about New York City cops. It's been acclaimed for its writing and acting, but some viewers have been offended by scenes with partial nudity, street language, and violence. David Milch co-created the program with Stephen Bochco and wrote the first few episodes. Milch is former executive producer of Hill Street Blues. We wanted to talk with him about the dramatic use of violence in a gritty cop show. First, I asked him if he thinks of his show as violent.
Sure, we show violence. Violence is a daily fact in police work, and so I would not dispute that ours is a violent show. Is it excessively violent? I think absolutely not. Is it gratuitously violent? No. When we show violence, it is part of the fabric and texture of the lives of the people that we treat with every week, and it's legitimate. We show the real consequences of violence, and to me, that's responsible dramaturgy. It's no different from telling any other kind of story. The violence that I object to, and which I would hope Attorney General Reno and Senator Simon and the others are referring to, or what I would prefer they would refer to, is violence which is mechanical, and the recourse of bankrupt imaginations who are just looking to jolt the viewer or to get an ending before a commercial. I think that violence is irresponsible.
So do you think that kind of violence should be regulated, but your kind of violence shouldn't?
No, I don't think any. No, I don't think it should be regulated. I think it should be deplored, and I don't think it helps anybody, including the viewer. But it's a separate question as to whether government, that paragon of effectiveness in other areas, ought to be the instrument for quelling it.
What are your concerns about how your work will be affected if there's either any form of self-regulation within the industry or if the government steps in to do something?
Well, if there's self-regulation within the industry, I would assume that the parameters would be ones that we could live with. I would do the show exactly the way we're doing the show.
Have the kind of standards changed since you were working on Hill Street Blues? Is there a difference between what you feel comfortable doing now and what you did then?
Particularly as it applies to violence, no.
Yeah.
Because we've never, neither on Hill Street nor on NYPD Blue, is violence an essential, we just don't have that much of it. And when we do it, we try and do it responsibly and effectively. And to the extent it's effective, I mean, it's not very pretty. And it isn't something that you just show a lot of. It just isn't a part of a mix that would be effective if there were too much of it. We have an episode coming up in mid-January where a cop who is an important character is shot down in the street, and we show that. But in terms of the guidelines or what we can or can't do, that has never changed since I've been in the business.
Attorney General Janet Reno has said she hopes that someday public service announcements will be superfluous because the programs themselves will be delivering those messages. And there's also something called the Harvard-Hollywood Initiative from the Harvard School of Public Health. This is an initiative to encourage writers to incorporate socially responsible themes in their scripts, such as like the designated driver idea. Do you welcome that kind of idea, or do you find it confining, you know, to think of people suggesting that you put in certain good role model type themes into your work?
Yeah, I welcome the information that is provided by those sorts of public interest groups, and I read it. And then, to the extent that, the short answer is no. I would never tell a story, you know, about a designated driver. Or it's that's not what we're doing any more than, you don't want to rent the show out as a soapbox for moral improvement or anything else. But I certainly think that those are all admirable goals. I think if you're stiff, have somebody else drive, but I'm not going to, you know, do a three-part series about it.
Well, I think of NYPD Blue as a character show. The characters are cops, and the violence that's in it really isn't graphic violence as much as it is incidents that reveal things about their character and about life in urban America.
Well, I should be interviewing you. That's what I think, too.
The two shows that I know that you've worked on, Hill Street Blues and NYPD Blue, are both cop shows.
Yeah.
Why are shows about cops, about people who are professionally involved with the criminal part of the world, why are those particularly interesting to write? And what do you need? What do you need on your palette to be able to do the kind of show you want to be able to do?
Well, I've done other shows too, but you're right. The shorthand in, among network programmers is that cop shows have a natural element of jeopardy, and as by jeopardy that means high stakes and danger, and that's attractive to a viewer. Having said that, you know, it was 8 years between cop shows for me, and we wanted to do, as you put it very well a little bit ago, we wanted to do adult stories about people who happen to be cops. and particularly cops in New York, because we felt it was the occasion for addressing some very complicated and rewarding themes about the relations between cops and citizens and the relations between races and so on. And to put that sort of, to accommodate those sorts of themes in a context where other more accessible responses to situations which might be violent or sexual were also present. I mean, that, as you say, that makes for a full palette.
Are there scenes that you've had to fight for, that you've had to go into a network executive's office and say, we really need this scene? I know you want to take it out, but we need this scene.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the history of our show, but we didn't get on the air for 2 years because there was so much back and forth with the network about what could and couldn't be shown. So that by the time we actually started to film, a lot of those questions had been answered. Nevertheless, there have been, I would say, maybe a half dozen scenes in the first 13 episodes. We're now on doing our 16th episode, where the network raised its hand or asked us to do it a different way. And there's some give and take there, but we had come to a pretty full understanding before the cameras rolled on those questions.
Now, are you feeling the heat from this controversy on violence on television? Do you feel that you're being asked to tone things down?
No, absolutely not. And as I say, we would not. That's.
But you'd pull the show rather than tone it down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did. That was what those 2 years were about. Was we wanted to do the show in a particular way, and this is not to have the privilege to show people gunned down in the street. It's our sense that the conventions which the show now obeys allow us to do a kind of realistic story, which we would be prevented from doing. Otherwise, that is that, and again, that has to do with addressing certain themes. It isn't a question of being able to show a buttock or the like. It's a whole package. And if you begin to concede in one area, then you're. I think that the whole fabric begins to unravel.
David Milch is the co-creator of NYPD Blue. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. We're back with our discussion on television and violence. My next guest, Charles Dutton, is the star of the show Rock. Rock is a comedy about a working-class African-American family, but the show often tackles serious issues that such a family would face. Dutton wanted to do an episode that carried a strong anti-violence message, especially to young people. The Gun episode, which airs early next year, is about a teenage friend of the family named Terrence. Gang members have humiliated him twice. On the third encounter, when they tell him they want his jacket, after having already taken his sneakers, he pulls a gun. He thinks it's the only way he can get them to leave him alone. Later that day, he tells Rock, played by my guest Charles Dutton, and Rock is furious.
Do you know what you're getting yourself into here?
All I know is that Damon is always picking on me. And when I flashed my piece, he was afraid of me for the first time. It felt good.
Oh, it felt good, huh? Well, let me tell you something, Terrence. I'm gonna give you the straight-up truth about carrying a gun. Once you have it, and you flash it, and you see the fear in the other guy's eyes, I mean, that taste of power can seem very sweet, but it can't last because the answer to a gun is a bigger gun. And this guy Damon's gonna be coming after you. Does he run around with a gang?
Sort of.
Sort of? Well, now his gang is your problem, too.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, you gotta give up the jacket. It ain't worth dying for. I mean, what's going on with you kids is insane.
At the end of this episode, Rock is in a classroom lecturing to the kids against violence. I asked him if he thought the end was perhaps too preachy.
I don't think it was preaching to anyone. There's enough buffoon clown shows on the air. Martin Lawrence show number one and every other black show except for Rock, as far as I'm concerned. There's enough of that on the air that people say, oh, that's fine. This was a way to use this powerful media to simply make a plea to parents and the young people on the insanity of all this. Now, okay, it's one episode, and it's one show, and it's one time that they'll see it. But you compare that with the amount of garbage that they see, the amount of violence that they see on television, it is worse, if you want to call it sermonizing or preaching or hitting them over the head with it. I feel it's worth it.
Yeah, well, let me stop you there. You seem very angry in this episode, and it seems to be an anger that goes a little beyond acting the part. You seem genuinely angry as Charles Dutton, not just as Rock. And I'm wondering if there are things that you've seen recently in your own life that have brought this issue home.
There isn't a day that that doesn't go by when I'm not affected by what's going on, whether it's out here, whether it's in the East Coast. I mean, I've lost many friends to violence in one form or another. There was an incident. I was in Baltimore early in the month of November to basically bury my brother, who passed away, and there was a 10-year-old kid in Baltimore who was just playing football on the street, and then some drug dealers drove by and was shooting at each other and hit a 10-year-old kid. A couple of days later, a 13-year-old kid was killed. And a couple of days later, a 17-year-old kid was killed by some other kids who just came in with AK-47s. And sprayed the entire house. And then a couple days after that, a 72-year-old grandmother who some kids shot because they were looking for her grandson. And she was trying to explain that the grandson wasn't there, so they said, well, just kill her. 72 years old. So, and all this in a matter of, 8 to 10 days.
You know, that Senator Paul Simon has given the TV industry a deadline of January 1st to come up with some kind of way to decrease the violence on TV or face legislation that will force them to do it. Are your colleagues in the industry talking about this debate over violence in television now?
Well, sure. Lots of people are talking about it,
What have the conversations been about? What have they been like?
Well, I think basically, a lot of people are saying, well, it's not television, it's society at large, and then a lot of people are for it, But then you have the economic question, you know what I mean? Jurassic Park was violent, It made millions of dollars. So, what kind of violence you have? I think people are still, in a way, confused or unprepared, basically, to deal with this thing. If it's because you have a musical element as well now that's glorifying drive-bys and gangsters and all this. You know what I mean? And it's a way that this country has always had a romance with outlaws and gangsters and those outside of the mainstream. Television has a responsibility to everyone, but in particularly where African Americans are concerned, I'm a little less concerned about the amount of violence, and I'm more concerned about the images of African Americans that television continues to perpetrate, what I consider negative images.
Just about everybody has something that aggravates them about television, whether they think it's too much violence or that the programs are just too stupid or that people are portrayed only as stereotypes. But just about everybody is dissatisfied. Now, you're trying to do a show that's different, that is a comedy that deals with real people and important messages. Is there anything standing in your way of doing that? Because everybody always complains, but then it seems like everybody's helpless to change it.
Sure.
So are there commercial pressures or any other pressures on you that make it difficult to do what you want to do with Rock?
I don't really. It's interesting you should say that. That's a good question. We're on a network basically that I fight with every week, because you should fight. I mean, I think it's healthy to fight for your vision. But in the end, I am allowed to do what I want to do. It's just the fighting to do it that can be very frustrating and anxiety filled.
What do you fight about? What are some of the issues that you've fought about?
You fight about images, basically. You know, you fight about...
Can you give me an example?
Well, okay, but this show, for example.
The show Terrence Scott Is Gone.
They didn't want to do a gun show. If you say AIDS, or if you say guns, the automatic response or reaction from a network is, no, it's not funny. It's not going to be funny. How can you make that funny? You know? And it's just a question of, you know, you compromise. You know, you say, well, I wanted to do one on abortion. They said that was too hot to handle. So, you know, I compromised that one and said, well, teenage pregnancy, well, we're still up in the air on teenage pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what effect I'm going to have in the long run, but I do know that as long as I'm on the air, I would rather have an epitaph for a show that you could put opposite All in the Family, that you could put opposite the other great shows that have been on the air, and say, well, you know, they in the three or four seasons that they were on the air, or however long it was on the air, you know, that that the show did well, and the show tried to say something, and the show, and we didn't demean and mock and buffoon ourselves, you know, because there's been enough of that for 40 years.
Charles Dutton, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, I'd like to thank you for listening, Terry.
Charles Dutton is the star of Rock. The show's anti-gun episode airs January 4th. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.